Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners.
The following is an experience-sharing article entitled "Cultivation Lies in the Process Rather Than the Result," by a Falun Dafa practitioner in Canada. The article was published on the Minghui website on June 17, 2023. I was born and raised in Hong Kong and later immigrated to Toronto, Canada. I began to practice Falun Dafa in Toronto in March 1999. Interestingly, I joined the Sound of Hope Radio Network in 2003 to help with the Cantonese language broadcasting, especially news announcements. Part 1. Be considerate of others' feelings. Hong Kong attracted the world's attention because of the anti-extradition bill movement in 2019. The Sound of Hope Cantonese news channel on YouTube grew rapidly and needed many announcers. That's why I became involved. In addition to announcing the news, I was responsible for looking at viewers' comments and selectively responding to them. When the viewers commented that our announcer's Cantonese pronunciation was not standard or the wording was unfamiliar to Hong Kong residents, I shared the feedback in our group chat. I felt it would help improve the overall quality of our program. I listened to a fellow practitioner sharing at the Canada FA conference last year. She told another practitioner that certain issues were supposed to be done in a certain way, but it turned out that the given practitioner was already experiencing a lot of difficulties at home, and by asking the other practitioners to do what she thought was right, she was actually bringing more difficulties to the other practitioner. She carefully reflected on whether she had done similar things to other practitioners in the past, and then apologized to each of them. I suddenly realized that it was wrong for me to point out my fellow practitioner's mispronunciation in the group chat, because I failed to consider the fellow practitioner's feelings. I reached out to the practitioner and apologized. The practitioner was very kind and told me not to worry. She said she looked things up in the dictionary a lot to make sure her pronunciation was correct, but she didn't bother to look up certain words because she didn't think she would mispronounce them. I realized that what I thought was right was not necessarily based on the FA, and I did not even know that I was doing something wrong. I thought I would improve the quality of the program by correcting my fellow practitioner's pronunciation. The idea was right, but my approach was wrong. Every practitioner is master's disciple. It was wrong to hurt fellow practitioners' feelings. It was a big omission in my cultivation. I also thought about whether I had hurt other fellow practitioners' feelings. I apologized to them in this article. My team has set up an online room where all fellow announcers can exchange experiences and answer questions, which would help each other. I brought some of the viewers' feedback to this online room. I hope this approach is more appropriate. Part 2. Cooperation. Stop complaining and calm down. Most of the scripts we received were from the Mandarin channel, so the grammar and phrasing were not Cantonese or Hong Kong-style Cantonese. Since most of our viewers are Hong Kong residents and Hong Kong immigrants living overseas who prefer Hong Kong-style Cantonese, we had to take time into changing the script to be more in the Hong Kong style. There are also differences between Cantonese and Mandarin translations of places and people, so it also takes time to find the translation that is commonly used in Hong Kong. I've been struggling to control myself not to complain or get upset in the process. In the last few months, I made some breakthroughs. I was able to consider many of the challenges that my fellow editors had to face. I told myself to calm down and face my challenges as a practitioner. Now I'm better at not complaining and can prepare scripts with a calm mind. There were many times when complaints came to my mind, I immediately realized that they were not right, and I needed to get rid of them. I am striving to shorten the time it takes to identify and eliminate the negativity, so I can reach the state where I don't let improper thoughts enter my mind at all. I believe this process is cultivation. If the script was perfect, there would be no opportunity for me to identify and remove my attachment of complaints and learn how to calm my mind. Later on, I had a dream. I realized Master was using the dream to give me a hint that I should not focus on the results, that I instead should focus on the process of discovering my shortcomings, listening to others' suggestions, and correcting myself. I realized that developing a habit of looking for my own shortcomings and improving myself is the key to doing anything. Part 3, holding on to a pure mind, will let us see the path Master created for us. It usually took me 2 to 3 hours to finish recording the news announcements. I felt it was too long, but didn't know how to shorten it. Then I had an opportunity last month to talk to a veteran Mandarin announcer who shared with me her method of recording and editing. I was greatly inspired and tried it the next day. This saved me almost half an hour. I realized that I never thought of this approach because I was working with a complaining mindset, wondering why the scripts weren't better. I couldn't be given wisdom when my mind was clouded by human thoughts and notions. Now that I started to let go of my attachment to complaining, Master then arranged for the fellow practitioner to help me. The practitioner also said, we should use any saved time on other things. It's true, time is so valuable for DAFA practitioners now. When we cultivate ourselves well, Master will give us wisdom so that we can do things well and fast, and we can get more things done, broadening our paths. Part 4. Any environment can provide opportunities for cultivation. I participated in promoting Xin Yin in Toronto, mainly at the ticket booths, for more than 10 years. Amidst the thick and thin of doing so, I found many of my shortcomings, such as poor cooperation with fellow practitioners, pursuit, jealousy, and fear of hardship. However, in the Sound of Hope project, prior to the YouTube Cantonese channel, I worked mostly on broadcasting, either at home by myself or with a few practitioners I knew very well. Thus, I always thought that it didn't present me with a lot of opportunities to cultivate. In contrast, the YouTube news channel is a collaboration of an entire team, including editing, broadcasting, post-production, uploading, quality assurance, and responding to viewer comments. Each step in the process is closely linked, and any problem in one step will affect the work in the next step, especially steps involving practitioners from different time zones. It really takes a lot of practitioners' cooperation to upload the news to YouTube quickly. Over the past 2 years, I realized I had a lot of shortcomings in cultivation while working on this project. In fact, every environment, every project, and every matter are not accidental. They are all opportunities Master has arranged for us to cultivate. I believe that Master arranged many opportunities for me to improve as soon as I joined Sound of Hope, but I did not realize it because of my poor enlightenment quality. I was looking at things with human notions and, of course, missed those opportunities. I'm grateful to Master for giving me the opportunity to work on the Sound of Hope Cantonese channel. I understand that I should always conduct myself in accordance with DAFA. I realize any environment can provide opportunities for cultivation. I am also grateful to my fellow practitioners for always being tolerant. Thank you, Master, for giving me this opportunity, and thank you, fellow practitioners.
The following is an experience sharing article entitled Getting Dropped from a Project Helped Me See My Attachment by a Falun Dafa practitioner in Japan. The article was published on the Minghui website on February 17, 2024. Anne had illness symptoms 3 years ago and asked if she could come to my place to read the fall. Since I was working on truth clarification projects at home and had time, I agreed. We studied the Fa, did the exercises, and sent righteous thoughts every day. She improved significantly. I was happy for her and once again witnessed how amazing Falun Dafa is. After staying at my place for over a month, Anne realized that she was fine. After she left, I thought it was wonderful to have an environment where I could cultivate diligently with another practitioner. Anne's illness symptoms were a warning that something was amiss in her cultivation. I did not have any insight, even though we shared our understandings based on the Fa. Anne did not say much about what may have triggered her tribulation. She just said she had conflicts with other practitioners while working on truth clarification projects. I did not ask about the details, as I know it's not easy when we are in a tribulation. I didn't want to add to the pressure she was already under. I later realized my heart was moved. If her illness got worse, I wondered how I would explain what happened to her husband and children who don't practice Falun Dafa. I did not have complete trust in Master and Dafa, and I was afraid of shouldering responsibility. I should eliminate these human notions and strengthen my righteous thoughts. Due to the COVID outbreak, many truth clarification activities were canceled, but we were able to continue doing the exercises in the park. I could feel myself improving as I did the exercises with other practitioners. We also read the Fa and talked about our cultivation experiences and understandings. Part 1. My Cultivation Opportunity. The coordinator of the project I was involved in suddenly announced that the project was ending. I had participated in it for many years and thought it was a powerful way to clarify the truth about the persecution of Falun Dafa. However, as the team members had jobs and worked part-time on the project, the number of news items we could produce was limited. I was at a loss by the sudden change. Soon after, a practitioner who worked with me on the project told me that another group was forming, but I was not asked to join them. I knew it was an opportunity for me to improve my character, yet I could not help feeling I was treated unfairly. I put a lot of time and effort into the project. I started out by doing odd tasks. I gradually learned how to do research, conduct interviews, write scripts, and do dubbing. In the process, I endured much unpleasantness. I did not expect to be suddenly dropped. I thought, if I ask the coordinator why I wasn't invited to join the new group, it may affect the other practitioners. I was afraid I wouldn't handle the situation like a practitioner, and I would have a conflict with the coordinator. Even though on the surface I restrained myself, I couldn't let it go. The incident kept bothering me. Part 2. My Realizations. When I looked within, I found my problem. Greed. I didn't want to let go of the project. I was busy working on several projects for many years, but as the requirements of each project kept increasing, I knew I lacked the ability to do them well. Each project needs people to work on it full time, otherwise it's hard to achieve a professional level. The coordinator once pointed out the areas that I needed to improve in. As a reporter, when I conducted interviews, I did not ask the right questions. My logic was not good, the scripts I wrote did not catch people's attention, and so on. I wanted to improve, but I couldn't. As time passed, I also felt I could not meet the standards required by the project. It was a good thing, both for myself and the team, that I left the project. I realized I needed to read the Fa and look inward. Master said in What a Dafa Disciple Is, quote, "Even if you are involved in Dafa Disciples projects, in the heavens above there are no such things as television stations, nor do gods have newspapers. Those are forms in ordinary human society. If you don't use righteous thoughts to guide yourself, and if you cannot manage to conduct yourself and look at the world and others according to the standard of a cultivator, like a Dafa disciple does, then you are the same as an ordinary person." Unquote. I am ashamed when I measure myself against the Fa. Master gave me several hints that I should let go of my attachment to working on projects. I thought I was clear on the Fa principles. I did not want to admit that I had so many attachments and used saving people as an excuse. I was attached to when Fa rectification would end, and I was afraid I would fall behind. Because I was entangled in this tribulation, I frequently had negative thoughts. While I did the exercises at a practice site, my resentment boiled to the surface again. I told the other practitioners how I was unfairly treated. One practitioner said, "Why don't you just let the young practitioners work on the project?" I realized how strong my resentment was. If those who are more capable joined the team, wasn't it a good thing for the whole project? How can I have so many selfish thoughts? Practitioners are a mirror for me to reflect on myself and improve my cultivation. Nothing happens by chance on the path of cultivation. Whatever I see, I should conduct myself according to the requirements of the Fa. I gradually understood that I should focus on validating the Fa and not myself. Whether or not I am involved in projects, I should cultivate myself. As a practitioner, there is nothing in the human world I should hold on to. Thank you, Master, and thank you, fellow practitioners, for your selfless help. This is my understanding and my current level. Please point out anything that is not in line with the Fa.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.